It's the return of the Humble and Honest Podcast. Hello, world. Welcome to season 4 of the Humble and Honest Podcast. My name is Stephen Francis, and I want to thank you for tuning in. If you have been a longtime listener of the show, you might have been wondering, where in the world is Stephen Francis? Well, I've had a lot of life change over the past several months. I am now pastoring in Brooklyn. Me and my wife are expecting our second child. Very excited about that. And I've also had a lot of other things happen in life that had me away from the microphone, but I'm excited to be back with you for this new season of the Humble and Honest Podcast. And today's episode is truly one of my favorite episodes of all 4 seasons. That is because it is with none other than the incredible Mike Signorelli. Mike Signorelli is the founding pastor of V1 Church. In just 5 years, V1 Church has grown from 1 location to 3 campuses nationally across New York Metro, Brooklyn, and Indiana, including over 100 watch parties globally in homes. According to Enjoy Stewardship Solutions, V1 Church achieved fastest growing church in America category for the last 3 consecutive years. Congratulations, Pastor Mike, and all the people at V1 Church. Mike resides in Queens with his wonderful wife, Julie, and daughters, Everly Faith and Bella. They love discovering new restaurants, ice skating, driving to ballet rehearsals, or laying around at a beach. I hear that. Listen, this conversation with Pastor Mike is exactly why this podcast exists. He's going to keep it humble and honest with us, and he's going to say some stuff today that's going to be challenging, encouraging. You might agree with it. You might disagree with it. It may open your mind up to some things happening in your life or around you in the spiritual realm. But either way, this is a conversation you definitely need to hear for yourself. So without further ado, my conversation with Pastor Mike Signorelli. Mike Signorelli, I am so humbled to have you on the Humble and Honest Podcast today.
Man, I'm so glad to be here. I'm coming at you from Queens, New York City in a basement right now.
It's a cool basement for our audio listeners. Mike Signorelli is in a really dope spot. It looks like you have like some neon going on back there and everything.
Yeah, we flipped it. I've got my guitar in the background. I've got some of my merch. Yeah, I like it. You know, the funny story though is that I was broadcasting to over 5 million people a month from this basement. And somebody recognized it, one of the viewers, and they hit me up and they said, I don't know if you know this, Pastor Mike, but I used to live in the neighborhood that you're in, and you are in the pornography section of the VHS store that was located there. So isn't it just like God to take something that, you know, the place of perversion and actually broadcast to 5 million people, you know, and so God will flip it, you know, every single time.
Truly a testimony of what God can do when his hands are on it. So that's incredible. You know, Mike, I'm a big fan of your ministry. I'm someone who's been watching for quite some time. So I am a little bit geeked out to be talking to you right now, but also keeping it professional. I love for all of those who do not know who you are or your ministry to get the opportunity to know. So first question then is, who is Mike Signorelli and how did he get to the platform that he's on today?
Man, that is such a great question. And it's an honor to be with you, to be honest with you, man, because we're fighting the fight and, you know, God's using you tremendously through the podcast. So all the faithful listeners, just know that you're getting some significant downloads in your spirit. You're being invested in and mentored through this podcast, which is amazing. My wife and I were laughing so hard because when I go through all of my requests to speak, to preach, to podcast, we were looking, we're like, Humble and Honest. I'm like, I really like the name of that. And then we were laughing because all of my pastors that raised me up have all fallen. So they've had sexual improprieties. They've, you know, messed with the money of the church or whatever. And I said, I feel like my podcast should be called Prideful and Dishonest. just prideful and deceitful podcast. Like how, you know, what I've learned the hard way from coming up through church abuse, toxic, narcissistic leadership, people who, the spirit of God left them a long time ago, but the gift from God is still there. So they're faking out a lot of people. Like I come from that, man. And so who is Mike Signorelli? I'm just a yielded vessel that keeps saying yes, even though my flesh wants to say no. I'm a guy who believes that the wisdom of God can surpass the wisdom of man. And so I'm yielded, and God can do more with a yes than he can with a degree. Mm. He can do more with a yes than he can with experience. And you know, in scripture, when you see the Holy Spirit coming upon Peter and he's preaching in Acts chapter 2, everybody's like, we discern these as like uneducated men. How are they functioning in this level of authority? And it was just, it was, you know, by the Spirit of God. So for me, I tried not to be in ministry. I'm very entrepreneurial. So I had multiple businesses and I used to be a touring musician and I had that life. I actually had my own music venue and I just felt like one day the Lord told me, just set it all on fire upon the altar and start a church in New York City. So I'm originally from Indiana and you know, you just don't come into New York City and do whatever you want. You know, this place will eat you alive. Churches close their doors every single day. Ironically, psychic mediums are thriving in New York City and they have offices and spaces all throughout New York City, but churches can't even survive out here. So there's such a hunger for the spiritual realm and spiritual significance, but people don't know how to access it. And so when I came out to New York City to plant the church, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. But within the last 5 years, man, we watched atheists, Hindus, agnostics, Muslims all come into faith, accept Christ as their savior. I've done mass deliverance events at the Bethesda Terrace underneath a bridge in Central Park where 200 people are manifesting demons, getting healed, delivered. We've seen it all. I mean, Long Island, matter of fact, as our church began to expand, we launched 3 locations in 3 years pre-pandemic. And then we launched 2 more locations post or during pandemic, which none of that should happen. I'm not that good, but God is. And, you know, but what it shows you is that people are done with religion. They're done with traditions of men, but they're not done with like the true spirit of the living God and meeting the real Jesus. So who am I? I'm just a guy who says yes. I don't even think that I'm God's first round draft pick. I think I'm like the 4th round draft pick and everybody else just said no, or they didn't have the integrity to sustain or the character to sustain the gifting they had in their life. And so I tell everybody all the time, I'm the Forrest Gump of ministry, which means I just kept running. You know, like if you know that movie, he ends up with presidents and all these crazy people. And he's like, I just kept running. And for me, man, it's like, I just keep going. I just keep, you know, love God, love my wife, and I never give up. And that ingredient list has gotten me this far, and I want to go all the way.
So that's so powerful. And, you know, I don't want to lose something that you just said, because I do believe we live in an age right now where specifically like religion is not necessarily popular, but spirituality is.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of talk of like the universe and meditation and things of that nature, but not necessarily religion in the form of Christianity, which is something that we're both devout about. And, you know, something that's very interesting about your ministry is not only do you not shy away from that, but there's also the sense that you go all the way with it and you talk about deliverance ministry and demons even. And that's something that most churches now aren't addressing. I almost wonder how many people that are new to the faith actually know about that side of the faith. Can you talk to me? What made you lean into that? And what would you say to somebody, maybe even a listener right now, that's kind of skeptical about that part of Christianity?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, most people do believe in demons. Most people do believe in, you know, and they have different ways of communicating it. They might say like evil entities, you know, but people, human beings are born innately understanding that the spiritual realm is real. And you're finding that less and less people are atheistic or agnostic, and more people, like you said, are spiritual, but not religious. But here's the thing, God created the spiritual realm. And so when we illegally interact with it, that's when there's demonic consequences. And what a lot of people are starting to discover is that, you know, they're getting involved with tarot cards. They're getting involved with psychic mediums, like I mentioned before. And, but then their life's not getting better. Some of them sage, crystals, different forms of witchcraft, Santeria, for my Jamaican friends, Obia. And they're getting involved with these different counterfeit spiritual experiences. And the Bible says that Satan comes as an angel of light. And so Satan's not going to show up with a pitchfork and horns and be like, yo, what up? Let's go sin. You know, because we'd be like, man, Satan's at my door. Like, I'm not stupid. You'd slam the door in his face. But he shows up as a counterfeit spiritual experience that's good, but it's not God. And so the psychic gives you the reading and it's good, but it's not God. So you're like, how did they know? And you're crying like, this word is so accurate. And it's like, well, because there's networks of demons that are actually speaking and informing, giving that information, because that which draws you away from Christ is not always the devil. It's something posing as good. And that's what people need to understand. Like sage crystals, it's Satan knows, like, I can't come in the form of evil, so I'm going to come in the form of good. And people are going to say, yeah, but I found community in this coven of witches. I found community in this Kundalini yoga group that I'm in. And you see that. And it's sad, man, because in most churches, people get treated better at the local bar than they do at the local church. And you go into the local bar and everybody knows your name. You go to the yoga studio and everybody's cheering you on. And then you go to the local church and you're getting gossiped about, talked about, belittled. And it's just, you know, so in a lot of ways, I feel like here's where we lost. And for those of you who are not Christians, who you're tuning in today, props for having an open heart and an open mind. I think true intellectualism is being willing to listen to other ideas without prejudging them. So if you're listening to this because somebody shared it with you, props for getting this deep into the podcast. But what I wanted to say is, like, you know, as we're like experiencing all this counterfeit spiritual, you know, experiences, we've got to ask ourselves, like, is this really benefiting my life? Because a lot of times people in the short term, they're like, oh man, I went to this shaman and did this ritual and it helped me. But then in a long term, they have terminal cancer. And I literally have millionaires call me up and say, I was with a celebrity and I went into Machu Picchu. I did this ritual and everything was good for a short period of time, but now I'm dying of cancer and I know it's connected to that ritual. Like, what can I do? And just, I hear the craziest stories. And so what happens is, you know, the devil's in the blessing business too. He took Jesus up to the mountain and said, everything you see, I'll give it to you. But the thing is, that's a short-term blessing. So the Bible says that God adds to us and it creates no sorrow. And so in other words, it's like the blessing of God might be pain in the short term, but resurrection in the long term. But the devil is like blessing in the short term and a curse in the long term. And so what happens is, like, all these people are interacting. And I'm telling you, this is good news because people are waking up. There's like a global awakening right now. And they're just like, my life got better in the short term and it's worse in the long term. So I've been speaking on this stuff and I even interview and feature people that have came out of the New Age and they've come out of different, you know, witchcraft and different things like that, because their story is incredible. And God's making stories like that every day. So if you're listening to this, like, I would just encourage you, think back, like, did you have a Ouija board experience? Are you reading your horoscope? Like, on most dating sites, people tell their sign that has demonic origins. Like, we don't need to go go to the stars for our future. We need to go to the one who made the stars for our future. Mm-hmm. And I just think right now it's a crazy time, man. My kid, I have a 15-year-old, and when she was 13 years old, we had a Wii U and I booted it up. And I was amazed to see that, like, when you logged into the internet, the default of the Wii U was actually horoscopes. So it's like, this stuff is everywhere. And that's where you get the bias, though, is like, okay, so I don't know if you know this, but Teen Vogue. So Vogue magazine has Teen Vogue, and Teen Vogue, one of their main contributing writers is a witch, a known witch. And so she wrote about how to do basically, I can't remember the exact wording of it, but it was like how to do spells with your menstrual blood. So it's like you have teenage girls that are reading Teen Vogue, but you'll never, and this is my point in seeing the bias, you'll never see anything about the blood of Jesus in Teen Vogue, but you will see how to do like magic dark arts with your menstrual blood. And for those of you listening, you can look it up with a Google search and see that Teen Vogue thing. So I'll put it like this, man, wherever you see the prophets of Baal, you're going to see the Elijahs. And so anytime the prophets of Baal are getting loud and making noise, you're going to see fire fall from heaven as Elijah gets loud. So for me, it's like, I don't want to talk about demons. I don't want to talk about the new age. I don't want to talk about counterfeit spirituality. But as long as Teen Vogue and the Wii U and major corporations are incorporating even Snapchat, dude, like you go into Snapchat and they have all these channels that are like preloaded into their platform. And one of them is your horoscope, but it's never going to be a daily scripture. It's biased. It's biased. So it's like, as long as like the large corporations are going to be working in conjunction with the demonic realm, I'm going to use every platform they've built to tell the gospel. Mm. I'm getting myself fired up. I'm about to flip my desk right now.
Hey, you definitely are heating up, but I have another question then, because we also see like, all right, say somebody, I do look at the horoscope. I burn sage every now and then. Mm-hmm. I don't really see any negative things in my life. And I think often, specifically in America, more so than other parts of the world, there's this easy dismissiveness of spiritual attack, oppression, possession. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it can even be excused as like, no, it's mental health. It's some type of traumatic event that's now coming up in some way. What would you say to that person that's like, I don't see anything negatively spiritual? Like, I hear what you're saying, like Ouija boards and all this stuff, but where can I see that type of spiritual attack, or where could it be happening in my life that I'm not looking? Does that make sense at all?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And here's the thing. I want to say this because I think it'll disarm some people who might be dismissing me already, because maybe you're like, yeah, this guy's extreme. But I want you to hear me say this. I do believe in science. I also believe that there are a biological basis for things that people go through. I don't think everything's a demon. But at the same time, you know, the ministry of Jesus in the earth was casting demons out of people. As a matter of fact, he even cast a spirit of infirmity out of people. And so sometimes it wasn't something that could be solved by medicine. Sometimes the solution was Jesus saying, spirit of infirmity, come out. And then there was a physical healing. So I think what I'm trying to bring back into Christianity really is the ministry of Jesus. It's not, people say they call it deliverance, they call it exorcism. I call it the ministry of Jesus. I'm just doing what Jesus did, what he taught his disciples to do, what he released the 72 into doing, and then the first century church did from the book of Acts all the way through. And so the ministry of Jesus is casting out of demons. And so you can't medicate a demon. And so if medication is not helping, then maybe you need deliverance. And that's my thing is like, I'm not saying everything's a demon, but why don't we find out? why don't we find out? And that's the thing I always encourage people to do. And here's the thing. If you're saying, I look at my horoscope and I do Ouija boards and I've done them and my life's fine. Matter of fact, I'm earning more money than my friends. I have a nice apartment. I'm married. I have the love of my life. But listen, good is the enemy of God. Good is the enemy of God. Because again, Satan is not going to wreck your life all the time. Matter of fact, most of the time, he'll keep you in mediocrity, because mediocrity is the enemy of God. And it's just like, you know, because here's the thing, the poor, the prostitutes, the down and outers, those are the ones who could most easily see Jesus as savior because they knew they needed to be saved. It was the people who thought, my money saves me. My money's my security. My relationship saved me. My friendship saves me. Those were the ones who are blinded to who the real Jesus was. And so the enemy came to kill, to steal and destroy, but it's not always an instant death. Sometimes it's a lifetime suicide. And what it is like one day at a time of mediocrity, one day at a time of things in your life being good, but not being what God has for you. And sometimes, and that's why I said it creeps up on you. And then you go 20, 30, 40 years in and you're like, I spent all this money on psychics. I've spent all this money on sage. I've done all these things. And I don't see the difference. You know, on the short term, it was good, but on the long term, it was a curse. And so, but here's the last thing I want to say to that answer. The Holy Spirit is Jesus unlimited. So Jesus said, it's better that I go because I'm sending another. And after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power to be my witnesses. And so even while I'm talking right now, I may not always have the best words, the right words, but the Holy Spirit will begin to work on your heart and confirm what I'm saying. And he'll cause the scales to fall from your eyes and you'll know what I'm saying to be the truth. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people who were like, when I was doing the ritual, when I was reading the horoscope, there was something in me that knew it was wrong. And I believe it was your conscience being worked on by the Holy Spirit. So I don't work alone. And I also don't rely on my own arguments. I rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. So he could be dealing with you right now, even during this broadcast.
Hey world, we're going to continue this conversation with Pastor Mike Signorelli in a moment, but I do want to let you know that I have a Patreon, and for as low as $1 a month, that's right, just $1, you can help continue these conversations that you are hearing today. As a thank you for your contribution, I have a ton of bonus content. If you want to hear my response to things that Pastor Mike said, it's on Patreon. If you want the full conversation, me and Pastor Mike had about a 10-15 minute segment where we talked about sleep paralysis and how some people suffer from spiritual attacks during sleep paralysis. Very interesting conversation. You can hear that on Patreon. And also, this is something I'm very excited about. All of my interviews will now be on video. How do you watch the video version of these conversations? On Patreon. And again, $1 a month. It is cheaper than any streaming service out there. So thank you for your contribution. I put a link in the show notes. But right now, let's get back to it. My conversation with Mike Signorelli. I want to switch up because we've said a lot of things about spirituality and especially demonic forces and attack. And while I do think that is playing a role in some of the reasons why we're not seeing people take hold of the things of Jesus, especially in our day and age, I do think the church has just done a bad job in several areas that's causing for people to not want to be interested in any of this. And I want to know from you, because you kind of addressed it. You've addressed pastors that have had moral failings lately. I believe you touched on Preachers and Sneakers once. Did I imagine that?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, yeah, the funny thing is Preachers and Sneakers account follows me on Instagram.
Let's go.
Yeah. That's hilarious to me. When I saw the follow, I was like, I don't know why, if you're a friend or a foe, I don't know.
But, you know, in light of so much of the public scandals that have happened, along with Preachers and Sneakers, how has it shifted the way that you have done ministry, if at all, especially in light of such a skeptical generation?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll be honest with you. I think everybody's got to think for themselves. And a lot of times when you have like bandwagoners, right? Like you had dudes that didn't care about their shoe game at all until there was clout associated with their shoes, you know? So it's like, listen, man, if you were into shoes before it was a thing and then it just became a thing, then it's whatever, right? Like you're being true to who you are. But if you're a pastor that never cared before and now all of a sudden you're like, okay, this is the uniform. This is the, you know, this is like the kit, you know, this is like the preacher, you know, whatever. It's like, it's starter kit. That's what I'm looking for. Like, you know, it's like, this is the trendy preacher starter kit. Then you're not being authentic. And I think that what Gen Z wants is authenticity. And it's like, I was talking the other day to somebody about how, like when you're okay. So for me, my childhood occurred in a time before the internet was a thing. And I was raised extremely poor. So we couldn't have the internet if it existed. We were like one of those families. So it was like, and I'm grateful for that. But it's like now I have Gen Z that work for me on my staff, and they don't understand the algorithm because they took a whole course on it. They just understand it because they've been consuming content their whole life. But the good thing about it is their like metric for what's authentic and real is better. Like they have a better meter and they can watch something and be like, that's fake. That's our, you know, even like likes, shares. It's like, they know that it's a bot. They know it's fake. And I like that. I actually love that. And it's funny because all these Gen Z that have like 1 million+ followers have reached out to me saying, would you mentor me? Will you be my mentor? And I'm looking like, dude, I only have 30,000 followers on TikTok, you know, 60, 70,000 on Instagram. But they're like, no, that doesn't matter to us. Like, we know that. And actually one of them told me, he's like, I'm not a real preacher, but you are. And I just repeat stuff that sounds good, but you're the real deal. So mentor me. Like, I'm doing it for the algorithm, but you're doing it for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so it's cool because I think with Gen Z, like the younger generation that's coming up right now, they crave authenticity. They crave like, you know, and that's why I think for me, like I've been trying to do as much ministry outside the church as inside the church. So like I have 3 church locations physically, and I shut down one of our campuses to consolidate on Long Island, but I have 3 and they're national. One's outside of Chicago and then Brooklyn and then Long Island. And I have LED walls and all the big production. And matter of fact, like I like shoes, you know, it's funny because when I was at the, when I was doing a mass deliverance in Central Park, that was the day of the flash floods. And the floods rolled in and ruined my sneakers. And I was laughing because I felt like the Lord was like, I'm not going to let you be that guy. Like, I'm going to keep you humble, you know? And man, this prayer line went all the way up the stairs and down, and my shoes were destroyed. And I watched all people from different walks of life not even care that the flash flood was coming in. They just wanted freedom. And it was cool because I told that story on another broadcast, and I literally had this guy reach out to me and said that testimony broke idolatry off of him. And he actually sent me private videos of him burning like over $250,000 worth of shoes, like straight up burning them. But then he asked me, he was like, well, hey, since your sneakers got ruined, like, you know, like pick anything you want and you send me the link and I'll get it for you. And so, I was like, no, I'm good. So he was like, no, seriously, don't steal my blessing. So literally he bought me the craziest Jordans ever. But it was just, I think that's the way that the kingdom operates, is like, sometimes God will destroy the idol, but then still give you the thing you wanted, but only after you want him more. Mm. So it's just like when you wanted clout, when you wanted fame, when you wanted prestige, when you wanted people to think you were the big deal, as long as there's idolatry attached to that, he won't give it to you. But then if you allow him to destroy that idol, then he'll release that and say, okay, now you can be trusted with influence. Now you can be trusted with authority. Now you can be trusted with, but then when it comes to you, you say, but you know what? I don't even want it anymore because I want him more. And it doesn't affect me. And so that's the real, I see a lot of that happening in the kingdom right now. You know, a lot of pastors that, to be honest with you, man, they weren't accountable. They weren't, because here's the way, accountability, everybody's like, I need accountability, a partner. No, you need to be accountable. Like an accountability partner can't make you accountable, straight up. Like, it's like you can do something with an accountability partner. Like every single one of those pastors that I did videos and talked about them falling from ministry, they all had boards of directors, eldership. They all had it on paper, but they weren't accountable. And so it's like, step number one is have an accountability partner. Step number two is like, be accountable. You know what I mean? And the thing, I'll end this because you can tell I'm super passionate about this, is the best way to understand it is in the kingdom, everybody's going to bow their knee. The only choice we get is, do you want to bow before you're forced to? Hmm. So it's like, it's all coming out. All your secrets, all your sin, it's all coming out. You just get to choose. Do you want to bring it out or do you want God to bring it out? It's like, either you bring it before him or he brings it before all of humanity on judgment day. It's simple. And so like, as a pastor, it's like, just be the first one to bust yourself out. Like some of these pastors, it's like, the thing I wish they would have done is had the courage to just bust themselves out. Cause I'm telling you, if any one of these pastors would have said, I messed up. Here's what I'm doing. Nobody found me, but I'm going to come to you first. There's more grace for that than getting caught. And I just get passionate about this because, and I'm telling you this too, man, like I'm looking at you, you're building a platform, you're podcasting, you're bringing people on, you're building influence. I'm just telling you, man, these guys, they do ministry for the income, not the outcome.
Mm.
And like they don't do it for the right reason. They get comfortable. They get corporate. They do it for the money. They do it for the income and they do love God, but I've said this on a lot of podcasts, but they have the first class experience. So what does that mean? Like I fly first class a lot because I fly so much. I hit these crazy statuses. It's not even like a financial thing. It's like the more miles you rack up and stuff. And so, and it's beneficial to me because my speaking schedule is crazy. But what happens is when you fly first class, you get to cut everybody in line. When the food rolls out, they get the trash food. And then the first class gets like real plates with like real forks and stuff. And then when you get first class experience, you could let pride tell you you're better than all those people behind you. And humility says, like for me, humility says, no, if I get a first class flight, it's because I fly so much to serve God's people that it's helping me rest and recharge. And it's just serving me as I serve God's people and keep me humble because any day this could be taken away. But a lot of pastors that get that first class experience in ministry where you have your special seat, everybody kisses your behind, everybody treats you like you're God on earth. It's like, and it's overemphasized, like toxic honor culture. And then you get that first class experience. You think you're the people of the church. You're better than them. You don't need, it's like a weird first class experience. And then, cause here's what it is. Being first class means in a flight means you're exempt from what other people experience.
Yeah.
And so when you start treating your sin, like, hey, you guys shouldn't be adulterers, but I can, cause my sin's excusable because my life is hard and you know, you don't know the pressure in my life or my wife doesn't. It's like, as soon as we start excusing it, that's when we become the first class experience of the kingdom and we literally cancel ourselves. So anybody listening to this right now, you should be more afraid of success than you are of failure. Because everybody experiences failure, but if you're one of the lucky few who work your butt off and you grind and you stay faithful to what God called you to and you experience kingdom success, it just got harder for you to go to heaven. So like that road is narrow, man. like I have no privacy, bro. People are logged into my iMessage. I have 15 people logged into my IG, my YouTube, nothing. I have no privacy. The only thing I do private is take a shower.
Mm-hmm. And that's your way of saying accountable, because I do want to be sure, like you're saying, people can have accountability partners, but aren't accountable. So you're saying I'm accountable in the sense of like, I've made sure that I have nowhere to hide. And if I do anything in private, I will make it my priority to be the first to tell on myself. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
The difference. Yeah.
Yeah. You absolutely. You have to step into that awkward space and, you know, or even share your struggles. Like I remember, there's this old school song by this artist, named Rich Mullins. And the lyrics were, "Hold me, Jesus, because I'm shaking like a leaf. You've been king of my glory. Now be my prince of peace." And that was like one of the biggest songs like 30 years ago. And he said that he was in Amsterdam where there were, you know, in Amsterdam, you could, you know, there's prostitution is legal, drug usage is open and it's legal. And he was a Christian artist touring. And when they got to Amsterdam, everything in his flesh wanted to go sleep with someone, do drugs, whatever. And instead he locked the door of his apartment that he was staying in. And he wrote that song, "Hold Me Jesus, cause I'm shaking like a leaf." And he wasn't shaking from fear. He was shaking with like desire. Like, I want to go do this thing, but like, you know, you've been king of my glory, but be the prince of peace. In other words, when I'm on stage playing for everybody, you've been the king that brought me to that place of glory, but be my prince of peace when I want to sin so badly. And it's just like I tell people all the time, bro, I never stopped wanting to sleep with like 100 women because I'm a physical body. I'm a man. Like that's just the way God made me. And it's like there's no fantasy of like, oh, I married my wife, Julie, and then my sexuality just eliminated every other possibility. And now I only want to sleep with Julie. The reality is like, I choose to walk that narrow path and say, as a believer, I don't do what I want to do because what my flesh wants to do is contradictory to what the spirit wants to do. And I just tell people, like, I read the Satanic Bible years ago, and I don't recommend any of you guys watch it or read it rather. But when I read it, it blew my mind because the Anton LaVey's, that whole Satanic Bible, literally that version of Satanism says, if it feels good, it's the right thing to do.
Hmm.
So is that not how the whole world operates?
Hmm.
And so it's like the Satanic Bible's principle is if it feels good, that's proof that you should do it. That's crazy to me, but that's how the world operates. Mm-hmm. I just felt like doing this. I feel like cheating. I feel like stealing. I feel like killing. I feel like, and it's like they're letting their feelings run their life. And that, to me, that is actually the root of Satanism when you study it.
That's scary to think, but 100% true. You know, you're absolutely right. And there's a level of humility we have to have because obviously there's mistakes that have been made and we have to do everything in our power to make sure we're not next. I want to know this because this is the Humble and Honest podcast. And sometimes I think we could be so diplomatic that people don't actually get to hear the truth about things. And me and you are both pastors in New York City. And there's this documentary coming out of Hillsong, and a big part of that documentary, I don't think anybody had Hillsong on the radar like this until the scandal happened with Carl Lynch, which, by the way, you know, just broke my heart. There was no level of, oh, this is juicy gossip. That wrecked me personally as someone that was impacted by that ministry. Do you have an opinion about this documentary?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to say this. So I'm connected by many inroads into Hillsong Global's organization. Mm-hmm. And over the years, we've built like, you know, strategic partnerships, all unofficial, just through relationship, you know? And I say that because anytime you're endeavoring to do something great for the kingdom, you're going to come into contact with other people who are trying to do something great for the kingdom, you know? Mm-hmm. And because that's just the way it is. But for me, I have been fortunate enough to meet a lot of people in key leadership positions through Hillsong over the years. And even when I first moved to New York City, one of my first experiences was Hillsong NYC bringing me in, their pastors meeting me, hanging with me, trying to help me. Matter of fact, like some of their main guys actually looked for venues for our church. And literally we're like, yo, let's collaborate. And I send them venues and they send me venues. And, you know, we've had all those kind of conversations. And some of my friends are some of the most significant leaders of Hillsong. And so I'm speaking from that perspective. Now, personally, I do plan on watching the documentary, not in a salacious, like gossipy way, but I do try to keep myself informed about what's out there, you know, but at the same time, like I have a journalism degree, I have an English degree. So I understand like how you can, you know, it's like, it's very difficult in today's day and age because everything is written with a slant. Everything's edited with, you know, an agenda. So there's no doubt in my mind that there is an agenda behind this documentary and the other ones that were made about Hillsong. And usually the higher you go, the more haters you have. It's just like a reality of it. Like for me, when I was a local church pastor, a V1 church, and we had 3 locations in 3 years, I mainly had supporters. But then when I started blowing up online and now I'm reaching 5 million people a month, you just exponentially increase your haters, you know? And it's funny because there was this thing on TikTok the other day and I got tagged in it about somebody breaking down all the Illuminati imagery in my Instagram account. And it was hilarious because I was like watching this video and I was just laughing because then the next day, there's a woman who did an entire video about the occult imagery in my stream setup, which was my old stream setup. And it was funny because I had a light over my shoulder, and it's an IKEA light that literally is an aviation light. And I love airplanes and stuff like that. And she said the crystal from that light represents, you know, crystals that people use. And then this plant that I have over my shoulder, she said that that's symbolic of sage. And I'm, you know, I'm speaking against rituals, but I'm actually for them. And it was like the most ridiculous. I laughed hysterically because I was like, I even commented on that video, and I don't know if I should have, but I told this dude, I was like, when was somebody going to tell me I'm in the Illuminati? Like, at what point do they call you and say, hey, congratulations, you made it, you're in the Illuminati? And because it's just stupid stuff, you know, like my guy, Evan, he's kind of like my D-Rock. He edits all my stuff and we work together. And like, I known him since he was a teenager, and like me and him were just cracking up because we're like, there's no way, or, you know, or you like, or you're talking with your hand and then they pause it. And then now it's like, oh, that's Baphomet. You made this sign or whatever. And you're just like, dude, when was somebody going to tell me that I'm like an elite globalist, you know, like a, and so I just think that like some of the, but here's what I'm saying. I do think, let me like rein it in. I do think that there were systemic cultural problems with Hillsong. And I've said that to my friends who are leaders. I've said that. I do think that there are cultural systemic issues with their organization that didn't allow them to scale. And this is the organizational leader in me, because you guys have seen, I've done conferences with John Maxwell. I've spoken at Chris Hodges Church, Church of the Highlands, second largest church in America. So I'm a leader as well as like a, you know, so there's that supernatural side of me, but then there's the organizational leader side. And there were cultural systemic problems. There's no doubt in my mind, like, you know, accountability for financial oversight. And sometimes you got to get down on the micro. And sometimes you really have to like cinch those systems down to the point where it can feel oppressive. But the blessing of it is the, like for me, you know, in my church, we have certified profit and loss statements every single month for the last 5 years. It's like the level of transparency. We just learned that like in today's day and age, you have to increase in that area. The other thing too, man, is that, and I know this is, I hate to even put this like on the public record, but I'm going to say it. You can be so dismissive of deliverance when so many of your team members need it. And I just think, man, I've talked to pastors who are like, I have a closet addiction to pornography. I have a closeted addiction to gambling, and maybe it's just the flesh. Maybe it's just a habit, but the flesh and the habit and repeated sin leads to open doors. And it's possible that even people on your team need deliverance. And so we were experiencing a lot here in New York where people would get saved at Hillsong, but then they would get discipled at our church. And I kept going back to their leaders and saying, you don't have to have this huge back door that's wide open, you know, cause like, well, a lot of times churches have a huge front door, but the goal is to have a small back door where, you know what I'm trying to say? They come yeah. in, but then you keep them through discipleship. And they tried really hard with connect groups and different things. But I think what was missing is there was this dimension within the spiritual realm that was like, okay, man, I love going to your house and reading the Bible together, but what about us doing the things that we're reading in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Like, at what point are we going to actually see the Bible, not just hear it? Because in these groups, we're like drinking wine, we're drinking beer, we're hanging out, we're like hearing the Bible, but we're not doing it. We're not seeing it. And it's, you know, and I think in that era when Hillsong was really blowing up, it was all about like, you know, strategic relationships with celebrities and, you know, like, in a lot of ways it was good because it was showing the accessibility of the gospel. Like, hey man, you know, and there was like a good, but remember the devil always tries to give you a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Mm. And so it's just like, yes, people are being saved, but then sozo is when they're completely free. So are they being delivered? Are they being healed? Are they being discipled? And so my biggest critique of Hillsong at that time in that era was always like, you guys have to find a way to sustainably do deliverance. You have to find a way to sustainably disciple people into supernatural ministry. Because the greatest irony of the Hillsong New York City was that their roots are spirit filled. Their roots are like, and I couldn't ever understand. I'm like, listen, like you guys know this. Like even Carl was raised in the Church of God of Prophecy, which is a crazy Pentecostal denomination. So he knows this stuff. He had to have seen it. But I think it's like when you get off and then he just, you know, and so a lot of those guys are my friends. A lot of those guys I'm still in relationship with. But I ultimately think that systems failed them. I think that they were not accountable to the degree that they should have been. I think that this form of Christianity that I'll put it like this, man, God is making holiness viral again.
Yeah.
You know, like sanctification and holiness are going to be cool now. And I feel like that's where we're headed in the kingdom, man. I was even telling this to our executive pastor today. I was like, bro, like it's almost going to be to the point where like if you don't operate in the gifts of the Spirit and allow God to do what he's doing and encounter his Spirit, your church is going to be perceived as whack. In the way that during the seeker sensitive movement, if your church was wild and you didn't, you know, it's like things have, I honestly believe it's literally flipping right now because the way that I preach and the way that we minister in our church 20 years ago would shrink your church. It's literally exploding right now because people are like, I want biblical Christianity. And I think the Hillsong documentary is kind of like, I'll put it like this. That's the last thing, because you tapped a vein right now, bro, if you can't tell. But I think it's like this. I used to think that the younger generations and the people, this call out culture, the exposure culture, that they don't want you to have an LED wall and lights and smoke machines. But the truth is, they don't care that you have that. It's just if that's all you have. Mm-hmm. So it's like, for me, every third Thursday of the month, we do this thing called 3P, which is preach, pray, and prophesy. And we go through the streets of New York City, Long Island, Chicago, and we minister on the streets. So, and it's like, I do a lot of ministry. Most of my viral videos were me on the streets of New York City doing ministry. So when they come into the church and they see that we have lights and an LED wall and all this production, they don't care because they know that's not all of who we are.
Yeah.
And I think for like me, it's like a lot of pastors think like, well, you know, you gotta counterbalance too far in the other direction. And I really don't see it that way. I actually just think it's like, man, they want to see the authenticity. They want to see that it's real. And if you need production to pull that off, that's good. But are you also going out into the world, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, you said so much stuff to chew on. So much stuff. All right. Two more questions because I want to respect your time. For anyone listening that's skeptical of the church, maybe they attended one of these churches where there was a moral failure. Maybe they've heard about it. What would you say to that person that's ready to walk away, if not already walked away from their faith or being a part of a church community, which is another thing. A lot of people trying to do church by themselves now, because of these things that have happened in culture. How would you encourage them?
God didn't hurt you. Just the religious institution of church did. Like God didn't fail you like the religious institution did. And so here's the thing. Jesus died for the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church. It does like somebody else's failure didn't become Jesus' failure. Somebody else's failure didn't become the church's failure. And the thing I would encourage you is that for every bad church, there is the one that God has called and destined. And you're seeing that, man. Like our church is not a perfect church. I literally tell people that because everybody, when they join our church, you know, they're all like, this is the greatest place ever. You're the best pastor. And, you know, they're all hyped up because it's like the dating phase. And I always tell them, I'm like, listen, I'm never going to hurt you on purpose, but I can't guarantee I won't hurt you on accident because I'm a human. And so you're not joining a perfect church because it's full of imperfect people. But I can guarantee one thing I can promise you is I won't hurt you on purpose, but I can't promise you, you won't get hurt. But here's the thing, man. If you go to a restaurant and they cook your food wrong or the waitress treats you the wrong way, you don't never go back to it. You say, I'm never going back to a restaurant ever again, or I'm never going to eat. Like if you got food poisoning once, you didn't say I'll never eat again for the rest of my life. Or you had one bad teacher, you didn't drop out of school. You didn't say, hey man, I'm never going back to school because I have one bad teacher. You also had teachers that changed your life. You've also eaten meals that blew your mind. It was the best food you ever ate. So it's like, it's weird how when, now I'm going to step on somebody's foot, like I'm going to step right on their shoe right now and put a crease in their J's right now. It's like, here's the thing, man. If you got food poisoning, but then you ate the next day, Like if you had a bad teacher, but you kept going to school, but you had a bad pastor and you left the church, then there's something in you that you're putting an excuse on not going to church. Like straight up, it's your fault, because there are good churches out there, and not all of them are mega churches, not whatever, but there are good pastors, man. And it's like they are out there. And so don't believe the lie of the enemy. And then the last thing I always say to people is, you can either be a critic or a creator. And so for me, like I was raised in small storefront churches growing up. I thought my whole family was dumb hillbillies. And then I ended up going to college and I had the professor that said, God's not real, like straight up just cliche, like the movie. I ended up becoming an atheist for a while. I went on this crazy search. I read the Hindu Vedas, the Quran, the Satanic Bible. I read the Bible all the way through, and I was on a search and I had an encounter with Jesus through a theologian my junior year of college, and I rededicated my life to Christ and I went. But here's the thing, man, all of my pastors have fallen. Every pastor I've ever served under has had a moral failure, financial failure, but I had to actually ask myself, am I going to use this as an excuse to run away from the church, or am I going to run toward the bride and say, you are the bride of Christ. Jesus died for you. So I'm going to surrender my life, and I'm not going to be a critic. I'm going to be creator. I'm going to create the reality that I like. So V1 Church is my response to the haters. Like it's me saying, hey, there can be a different way, you know? And I'm responding with my life. And so I don't respect somebody who responds with a blog, but won't respond with their life. I don't respect somebody who will respond with a Facebook post, but won't respond. Like, put your money where your mouth is, dude. Talk is cheap, bro. Like, if you think that you know how to do church, then make your own church, homie. Because it's like, for me, and that's the thing about this documentary. Like, I do think there's some value in talking about things, exposing things. I mean, I've been a part of that. If you read the New Testament, you see in the epistles, they literally call out people by name, which is ruthless. You know, like you, and so I do think there is an appropriate time where you do have to call things out. And we've done that, man. I had a major broadcast where we broke 10,000 people live. And it was when we were talking about a guy on YouTube who has almost 1 million subscribers. And we believed that there was error in his theology. And I combined forces with some of my friends to do a broadcast to say, this is the other perspective on those scriptures. And we're going to call this dude out by name, and we're going to do it in love. And we did that. We broke 10,000 viewers. It was crazy. But my point in saying it is like, I'm speaking as a practitioner, not a critic. Like, I'm not a food critic. I'm a chef. I'm not a literary critic. I'm an author. And so that carries authority. You know what I'm saying? If somebody's like, just, man, this book is trash. And I'm like, okay, then you write a book. You know, like, you know, so, but then if a renowned author who's been successful says this book is trash, you might want to listen to him, you know?
Yeah. Mike, this has been so rich and so filling, and I want to respect your time. And you've given us so much. Anything more would just be just heads exploding. Like, we got to chew on what you've said. So my last question then, before we close out, can you just tell people how to connect with you, how to follow your ministry and what you're doing, especially on YouTube and other platforms?
Yeah, listen, being on the Humbled and Honest podcast was such an honor for me. The fact that we're fighting back to back, you know, is crazy, man. I can't wait to meet you in real life. You're always welcome to come hang, kick it. Come by. I'm right off the M. I won't give too many more details about my address online, but I'm right off the M. So you could always drop in and hang with me anytime you want, man, because you found a friend in me. And I honor you and I respect you. So yeah, if everybody listening, if you're just like, man, this guy's crazy, but I love to hear more. I'm on the journey to 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. So hit up my YouTube channel. Just type in Mike Signorelli and hit that subscribe button. I crossed 300,000 on Facebook. And so if you do still use Facebook, I'll pray for you, but you also can, you can follow me on Facebook and then Instagram as well. My pages are blue checkmark verified. I only say that because I have a ridiculous number of scammers and impersonators. So like, make sure that you see the blue checkmark verification on the page, because I would hate for you to follow somebody that you think is me, and then they ask you to donate to an orphanage, and then you actually do it, and it wasn't me. So don't donate to any orphanages. I do not have an orphanage. But yeah, man. So I hope to see you guys. I broadcast live multiple times a week. I do Q&As. I bring people on live to prophesy over them, cast demons out of them, speak a word in their life, give them pastoral counseling. I do all kinds of crazy stuff. So if you want to check it out, just YouTube's the main place.
Wonderful. All of you listeners, go ahead and check that out. Mike, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thanks for having me.
And there you have it. My conversation with Mike Signorelli. Pastor Mike, thank you so much for being on my show and for being an incredible leader in New York City and beyond. Truly, the work of God is happening in and through your life. If you guys want more from him, I put a link in the show notes to his YouTube and social media page. And also, I would love it so much if you joined me again on the next episode of the Humble and Honest Podcast.